Sportscast, November 13th. Welcome to another exciting day in sports. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest in sports news. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Create a Bible verse. Put it on an image. Share it to the world. You go to instabibleapp.com, and the rest is history. The College Football Playoff Week 10 poll came out last night. Not too many surprises. LSU is number one. It's confirmed. There's just no argument against that. And joining us, coming out of the shower, just woke up, Mr. Ty Turner. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Are you kidding?
I'm just causing conversation. But anyways, how long have you been up so far?
That sounds like a guy who doesn't have four kids.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think I have woken up any later than seven since I've had children.
That's not bad. That sounds a little more of a college student.
No. You don't have to worry. I never just got out of the shower at 11:45.
It's all sarcasm. The show is very low key. Anyways.
No, I know. I'm just playing with you, baby. I feel you.
Last night, the poll came out. I wasn't surprised. Not many people were surprised on Twitter. Now we know Alabama is not in the top four. There was huge debate about that. They could be number four, but they're actually number five. But most importantly, Oregon's number six. They just moved up. What are your overall thoughts?
Yep. I kind of thought it wasn't really that surprising. I did a top 10, and I think I had Alabama 4, Georgia 5. That's the only difference, but it wasn't surprising the other way. Yeah, I think I had Oregon, Utah, and I think I had Minnesota. I don't know if I had Penn State 9. I think I might have Oklahoma 9. Anyways, it wasn't surprised at all. I thought it kind of was par for the course. I mean, there's always one or two teams that are maybe a little lower, maybe a little higher, but not really. I mean, I thought it kind of what you'd guessed it to be was what it turned out to be.
Another observation that I've gotten and other people have gotten, that Minnesota is number eight. Some people think they should be higher. What do you think about their position?
No. Do other people know what their out-of-conference schedule was?
That was not talked about.
No. I mean, they played South Dakota State FCS. They played Fresno State, who's 1-8, and they played Georgia Southern, who plays in the worst FBS conference. And I think they're like 5-4 or something. And Minnesota beat them by, I think it was, they beat South Dakota State by like 7. They beat Fresno State by 3, and they beat Georgia Southern by like 7. So they played 3 bad non-conference teams and barely beat them. Granted, they've looked good in conference, and they obviously just beat the number 4 team in the nation at home. But no. I wouldn't have a Minnesota any higher.
Looking at what you posted on November 10th on the Sportscast site, you did have Minnesota at 8th. You're correct on that. You had LSU number 1. You're right. Ohio State. You had Clemson at 3. You had Alabama at 4th, but Georgia at 6. Were you surprised to see Georgia at number 4 this time?
No. But the thing is that's my Sportscast top 10.
Yeah.
So that's not my projection for the college football playoff.
Okay. I gotcha.
Because you saw me when I projected the. So remember when I'm not projecting doing a projection for the college football playoff. I'm giving what I believe the top 10 is.
I gotcha. Well,
I knew that Oregon was going to be behind Alabama or Georgia in the actual poll. I just think that Oregon is better right now, in my opinion. I'm an Oregon fan, but I think they're better than Georgia.
What scenarios do you have to see for Oregon to make it in that top 4 cut?
Hold on with that. Are you there?
We're still here. We're waiting for you.
Okay, okay. Okay, so ask me that question again.
What scenarios you have to see for Oregon to make that top four cut?
What do I believe should be what scenarios do I believe should get Oregon into the top four?
Yes.
Win out. Win the Pac-12.
And that'll be enough. That's it.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Yep. Destiny is in their hands.
The only scenarios that would possibly keep Oregon out, but the only scenarios that I think would keep Oregon out is if Georgia wins the SEC championship. So then Georgia is the SEC champion, and they beat LSU, and LSU's only loss was to Georgia. That, because of LSU's schedule strength, they, you know, play in Auburn, they played Alabama, they played Texas, they played Florida. So they could have beaten four top 25 teams but lost to Georgia in the SEC championship. That could be problematic.
I can see that, Tyler.
People say, well, Baylor wins out. Baylor's not going to win out. Did anyone see Baylor play?
I haven't seen Baylor play, but I haven't heard good things about them.
Yeah. I mean, they're undefeated, but they play Oklahoma this week. They play Texas the week after, and then they will play probably Oklahoma, more than likely, for the Big 12 championship. They're not going to win all three of those games. They aren't. And if they lose one game, their strength of schedule, their opponents' records have a combined six wins. They've also had extremely close games with teams with below 500 records. West Virginia, Texas Tech, and even I just went out. Then scenario number two is Minnesota wins out. Minnesota's not going to win out. I mean, they play at Iowa. I don't know how many times they've beaten Iowa over the last 2 years. I think they beat.
Which you think Iowa has a good chance of winning that game?
Well, they haven't beaten them in like 20 years in Iowa. Now, I don't want to say that, oh, just because 1 year makes another year. That doesn't always make another year. But even if you look at it from a baseline talent, the teams are pretty similar. Iowa doesn't have a good offense, but they have a very good defense, and they very much have a very good defense at home. They're a good home team. It's a tough place to play. I just think that's a very tough game. Minnesota's only beaten Wisconsin once in 14 years. That was last year. That's not a great matchup for Minnesota because Wisconsin actually has a better ranked team when it comes to the efficiencies on defense. And even, I think offensively, Minnesota's a little bit better, but defensively, Wisconsin is a much stronger team. I also like the talent, make my talent on Wisconsin's team better. I think they lose one or maybe both of those games. And then let's say they lose to Iowa, beat Wisconsin, win the Big Ten West, I don't think they match up well at all against Ohio State. And so I think Minnesota loses about two more games. And then the other one is Oklahoma winning out, which is possible. Oklahoma, it does have a more talented roster. I think they also have a more complete team, especially when it comes to their abilities on the offensive side of the ball. They could win out. Oklahoma could win out. They could beat Baylor twice, which would mean two top 25 victories. Texas could end up finishing in the top 25. So then they would have three top 25 victories versus, like, let's say Oregon, who would have maybe one or two top 25. You know, there could be an argument for Oklahoma. But if what I'm saying is if Oregon wins out, I think there's a pretty good likelihood that they make the playoffs.
Over Oklahoma if they win out as well.
It'll be close. If Oklahoma wins out, Oklahoma and Oregon will be close. I don't think Baylor and Minnesota wins out. I just think the likelihood is like less than 15-10%. And so, yeah. And then, oh, then the other one is Georgia beating LSU, which actually might be the most likely of them all. I would say of the four scenarios, I would say least likely is Baylor and Minnesota waited out. It's not the same. They're not going to win out. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Second, I think Oklahoma, their defense is not very good. They also have a lot of injuries. They're trending down. They've given up 40-plus points in their last two games. Obviously, they lost the Kansas State game. They almost lost the Iowa State game. They would have made that two-point conversion at the end. Iowa State would have beat them. Their defense does not look very good at all. I could see them losing to Baylor in one of the two games or Oklahoma State and Bedlam. So they have three pretty tough games left. I don't know how likely it is they went out. I would put it at like 35%. Now, Georgia does have the talent to beat LSU, and the issue is it doesn't really even matter if Georgia loses to, like, what's the number. If a two-loss is the SEC championship, I don't know. It's tough to keep them out. And then LSU would have only lost one game in the SEC championship despite beating four top 25 teams. That one could be the most likely scenario, and that's probably not the best scenario at all for Oregon. So just hope that LSU wins out and wins the SEC championship and Oklahoma loses or, you know, whatever.
The unlikely couple. The unlikely parallel here between Pac-12 and SEC. It's quite interesting how things are kind of parallel each other. All right, let's go into Arizona. Four-game losing streak they're going through. They're going to Autzen Stadium in Oregon. It's looking like the Ducks are going to take this, but what is your preview analysis on this game?
You know, you have to, as they've been saying, you be focused on this game. Don't be looking at any of the noises. Don't be looking ahead. Take one game at a time. You got Arizona this week. You got Oregon State. So don't be looking way ahead to the Pac-12 championship. On paper, this is not a great Arizona team. They've lost four in a row. They, I believe, have the number 105th ranked defense as far as efficiency. I think they're outside the top 100 total defense. Scoring defense is probably down there, too. That's because I think it has been like 74. They have some of the rankings as far as efficiency metrics have them fairly high on offense. I think like in the 25 to 40 range. I still don't think their offense is anything that special. They didn't do a whole lot against USC. They didn't do a whole lot against Washington. They haven't done a whole lot when they played better defenses. Yeah, they had decent offense against Colorado. Colorado has a terrible defense. They put up some points and yards on Oregon State. Oregon State is a terrible defense. But how have they done against better defenses? Not that good. And they've not been very good on the road. This is not a very good team. I think a fair argument could be made that Arizona, there's a lot of parity from number 4 to number 12 in the Pac-12, but I could definitely see a fair argument saying that Arizona is the worst team in the Pac-12. Now, I've said all that negative stuff about them, and I still, Oregon has to be focused. And Oregon, because there is some doubters, especially on ESPN and anyone that has a strong SEC bias. I don't care if they say they don't or not. I don't want to hear you don't have SEC bias when all of your analysts were former SEC players. Greg McElroy and David Pollack all play for SEC schools.
There's got to be a connection.
Jesse Palmer, they're all SEC or Big Ten. Joey Galloway, Desmond Howard. Where's Pac-12 players? Where? They even have a couple Big 12 guys, Emmanuel Acho, Jonathan Vilma with ACC. There's like literally no one from the Pac-12 on there.
It's not fair, so, Tyler.
No, I'm not going to go on about fair. I don't like fair, but there's a bias. Paul Feinbaum's on. I mean, it's like they're all SEC grads or Big 10 grads. It's like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, so there is a bias. But where was I going with that? Okay, so knowing that, Oregon wants to win all these games by quite a bit. And their last three games against Arizona, Arizona State, and Oregon State, these teams are not very good. They're just not very good.
From the three, who's the difficult one?
Well, Arizona State. Arizona State is the one with the best record. Arizona State probably overall has the most talent. And it's at Arizona State. So Arizona State's a tough game. That's a game on the road against Arizona State that does have some talent on the roster. They're a team that probably is going to make a bowl game. They're not playing very well right now. They've lost three in a row. But, no, Arizona State's the toughest game. The other two teams are just not very good, and they're both at home. And under Mario Cristobal, Oregon has only lost one home game, and that was to Samford, a game that they dominated the whole way and blew in the end. So, obviously, Oregon's pretty good at home. It's a pretty tough place to play, and Oregon's good there. So, I think Oregon handles business at home. Arizona, you know, they don't even have a – Khalil Tate was their quarterback, but he's been very off and on. He's been horrible throwing the ball. He more than likely he might start, but they've also been playing freshman Grant Gunnell. but he's a freshman. He's played pretty well. And then they have a defense that, plain and simple, the coach – defensive coordinator just got fired. So they're bringing in an interim defensive coordinator, and their defense has just been awful. And I just don't think this is a great team.
There you have it. This Saturday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So if you're a late night owl or coming out of work a little bit late on Saturday, you can watch that game on Fox. Question is, are like the Fox panel like Pac-12? Is that a Pac-12 panel, or are there a bunch of SEC alum?
No, Fox is a little better. Are you sure that...
Oh, no, sorry, ESPN.
That game's on...
ESPN.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Correct. I was like, I thought that was on ESPN.
And that's okay. All yeah. SEC commentary.
Yeah. That's why it was late, because they took that time slot. I think... No, Fox is a little better. No, because Joel Klatt is actually a West Coast guy. Or grew up in the West Coast. I think he went to school in the Midwest. I'm not sure where. He's an alum. It's a little more. There's some Big 12 guys
it's
on
fair,
there.
Yeah.
Fox is definitely a little more.
And they have exclusive rights to the Pac-12. So, a question from the audience.
Yeah.
Question from the audience. What if Auburn wins out? How's that scenario looking?
They have two losses, and they won't have won their division, and they will not be playing in the SEC championship.
They will be Georgia.
I know that. I know what the people are saying, and they have the head-to-head over Oregon, but you can't play that card all day. It doesn't always go down because people beat other people. I mean, it's like, oh, well, they beat them, so they lost to them, so you go over them. It's your whole schedule counts. At the end of the day, Auburn doesn't win the SEC. They lost two games. No. I mean, Auburn wins out. That's awesome. They'll probably be playing a very good New Year's Six game. Auburn will not be playing for the national in the College Bowl playoff.
There you have it, guys. You Auburn friends. Chase Young, his suspension has been lowered down to two games. Tyler, is this a good thing for Ohio State?
Yeah, it's good to get him back for Penn State and Michigan. He's definitely the best defensive player in the country. I think missing two games pretty much eliminates him from winning the Heisman. You know, a defensive player, it's kind of hard to win the Heisman anyways. And having missed two games, especially with Joe Burrow playing the way he does, I don't even think Chase Young gets a New York invite now. Burrow's way ahead. It's Burrow, and then it's probably Tua, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts. I still think Herbert. You don't see him on that high. There's definitely – it's just funny. Like, that's another narrative out there. There is a lot of negativity on Herbert when it comes to just – now, when it comes to the scouting community, people have been really high on Herbert. They think he's played well this year. They think he's gotten better. They think he's been more consistent. They think he's stepped up in big games. But when he goes to this media run group, PFF College and all that, there's really negative, and they have Herbert dropping, and you see the synopsis on him. And I'm always kind of like, when you listen to ESPN and some of these, it's kind of frustrating because it's like, okay, so Herbert hasn't played that good. You know, Desmond Howard comes out and says he doesn't win the locker room, right? Dan Avesh, whatever his name, Avachovsky, whatever his name is. He was a quarterback for UConn. He was like, yeah, I saw him play last year. And so it's kind of negative. And then the negative on Oregon's schedule and their defense, you know, that they thought was legit got kind of exposed against better teams. Well, for a team that's not – has an overrated quarterback, overrated defense, and their schedule is not that – or whatever you want to put it, why are they 8-1? Why do they have five victories over 500-plus teams with over 500 records? Why is their average victory – why is their average number of victory at, I think, 21 points per game? They're averaging 21 – their average win is by 21 points. Now, it's slightly skewed because the games like Nevada, they won by 71, 32 over USC, 42 over Colorado. But I'm just saying, it's kind of weird. I don't know. An overrated quarterback, an overrated defense. So all these like negatives, yet they're 8-1. Something's going good. They're winning almost all their games except for a couple. They had a close game with Washington and Washington State in back-to-back weeks. But other than those, their other games aren't close at all. All of them double-digit victories, in some cases by in four of those games by 30-plus points, even though that five of those teams have winning records currently. So, but they're overrated. The quarterback's overrated. I would like a little bit of a breakdown. It just seems like how some news media outlets, ESPN, I'm talking to you, it just seems like let's just give fast takes. Let's just give fast takes. Let's not really like think through this, not look at any kind of metrics. Let's just give fast takes. Maybe I saw him play one time, he played bad, so Herbert's overrated. I saw Washington score 35 points against them, so that defense overrated. But then let's critically think this through. Why are they 8-1? Why are five of their opponents with over 500 records? Why are they winning their games by 21 points per game? Why? If they're overrated, why?
And plus, it'd be Washington and Washington State, which a lot of pundits were saying that Oregon might have some difficulty with them.
No, and that's another funny thing. I saw them pick those games on Game Day and ESPN. I saw half them pick USC over Oregon.
Wow.
I didn't see them eating crow after they lost, but they ended up beating them by 32. I saw a couple pundits, Desmond Howard, talking to you goofball.
Hey.
I saw you pick Washington State. You didn't say anything when Oregon ended up winning that. I saw several people pick Washington. I just didn't hear them backtrack. Instead, it keeps on like, oh, Herbert's overrated. Herbert's overrated. And he should, he's just proven he's not. And do I think, I've been a little harsh on Herbert sometimes. I do think consistency has always been a little struggle with him. At times, he can just be inconsistent for consecutive series where you're just like, well, why are you 1-for-5 in the first three series of the game? Why did you throw that interception at that point in the game? why did you take a sack that took you out of field goal position? Then you had to punt. So there's little things like that I'm like, yeah, I could see there being an argument that, he needs to have a little better pocket awareness. He needs to not let one bad play trickle down into another bad play. But as a whole, he's completed 70% of his passes. As a whole, he's very efficient, 24 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. As a whole, he's helping his team win games. They're 8-1. As a whole, he's running a top 20 offense. They're, I believe, 12th in scoring offense, number 13 in offensive efficiency, number 26 in total offense. As a whole, Justin Herbert is doing what it takes to be a successful quarterback in college, and also to go along with his abilities. He's 6'6", 240 pounds. He has an elite arm. He's an elite athlete, can run probably in the 4-6 range. He can really get out and run in space. Athletically, and even how efficient he is, he doesn't turn the ball over. He is pretty accurate. Why are you complaining? Why are you knocking the kid so much? I mean,
well, his stock is up for the NFL draft. That's what I've been hearing. So.
Yeah, among the scouting community, the GMs, the people that actually make decisions, that are yes. Now, when it comes to some of the takes by ESPN members, they're still kind of down on him. I mean, they did an article on 247 about. Yeah, they did an article on 247 with Desmond and Dan. What's his name? Dan Ofosky or Evieski or whatever his name is. He talks really loud. He's annoying.
He's not your friend.
And it's a bunch of old athletes that, you know, get these positions and ESPN, you know, pretty good looking, can talk pretty good. I think most of them are terrible.
They should have you on, Tyler.
I just think and some people probably think I'm terrible, but I'm just saying some of the responses are just harebrained, and then their logic doesn't conclude. Like if Oregon has I heard David Pollack say their defense was overrated and got exposed against Washington State and Washington. I've heard them, several of them knock Herbert. I've heard them knock schedule, even though of the top 10 teams, only Ohio State and LSU have better strength of schedule currently. Well, Penn State might. I think it's Ohio State, Penn State, and LSU are the only three teams that have a stronger strength of schedule than Oregon. Oregon has a stronger strength of schedule than Georgia, than Alabama, than Utah. Utah has a really bad strength of schedule. That's another point. Oklahoma, Minnesota, Florida, whoever else is in the top 10, Oregon is a strong. Well, so why are they saying they have a weak? It seems like there's a certain group that they're just for some reason disregarding the Pac-12. Now they have a little stronger argument with Utah. I did look at Utah's schedule. Utah's schedule is not good at all. Utah doesn't. And also Utah did lose to an unranked USC team. And there's some Pac-12. I listen to some Pac-12 networks. I listen to the Yogi and Robin. It's Yogi World or whatever. Yogi Ross of the Pac-12 Network. I watch him on Inside the Pac-12, and he also has a podcast. I forgot what the podcast called. It's Tim and Ted Robinson and Michael Marinari. And, you know, they're also always pushing a pro Pac-12 narrative, and I like that because, you know, they're trying to give respect to the Pac-12. I did look at Utah's schedule. And it's not good. Their out-of-conference schedule is very poor. I can't remember exactly the team's record, but their teams were not good. They also play in the Pac-12 South, but there's a lot of bad teams. Arizona's not a good team. Colorado's not a good team. Arizona State is showing to not be that good. UCLA's playing better, but, man, they were terrible at the start of the year. USC's culture is a mess. The Pac-12 South is not a very good division, whereas the North, you know, you got Washington, who's still a good team. Washington State, who's still a tricky team. Oregon State, not that great, but, you know, they're playing better. And then Stanford has always been good. They're not as good this year, but I still would say the Pac-12 North is the better division. I think the metrics would agree with that premise. And then overall, Utah's just strength of schedule and their loss was to a USC team that very well could end up outside the top 25. They're not in the top 25 right now. So their loss is not great, and their overall resume in general is not great, especially their non-conference resume. Utah is a little more problematic going up against, let's say Oklahoma wins the table. I could see Oklahoma getting in over Utah. Let's say LSU loses in the SEC championship game. LSU would get in over Utah. Alabama's strength of schedule is really bad. I don't know if they could get in over Utah.
They're number five right now. I just don't see them coming in. It's just, oh, I don't know.
I don't think. You notice when you asked me about Oregon, I didn't address it. Oregon's in over Alabama.
Yeah,
I
think Alabama's season is done. Unless LSU loses against Texas A&M or something, but
LSU loses Texas A&M. That's one. Another one is Ohio State losing to Penn State.
Yeah.
And then Minnesota loses to Iowa and Wisconsin. Wisconsin goes to the Big Ten championship, beats Penn State. So everyone in, so the that could eliminate the whole Big Ten. I mean, so there's a couple scenarios. I wouldn't say it's totally done. Oregon winning out, winning the Pac-12 versus Alabama sitting there. If things kind of stay the course, yeah, I think Oregon gets it.
Oregon is in prime position. Prime position, Tyler.
Yeah.
Real quick 60 good. Seconds. Yeah. Your thoughts on the LSU Alabama game?
It was a very good game. I saw the first half, and then I came back, and Alabama had come back. First half, LSU had by 20 points. The game wasn't even close. Then I came back, and wow, they came back, and they made it a game, but LSU was able to keep it in their hands, and they won. LSU won at Alabama. Alabama was down the whole entire game by 20 points at one. I'd be wary giving too much credit to Alabama for that game. And I know Tua was hurt. Tua didn't play hurt. He wasn't the reason why they lost. They scored 41 points. If anyone tried to say, well, it's because Tua was – no, they did fine. Tua didn't fumble because he was hurt. He fumbled because he fumbled. Their defense got beat up by LSU, so and that has nothing to do with Tua. So I just don't think Alabama should be given that much credit for losing at home.
One player that impressed me a lot was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think besides Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's good. Oh, but, yeah. LSU's good. LSU and Ohio State are the two best teams, in my opinion. So, yeah.
There you have it. College football. Real quick, the Packers beat the Carolina Panthers 16-24, 24-16. Matchup between two MVP candidates turned to a stage for third player to make his case to be included in the MVP conversation. Preston Smith and Green Bay's defense stopped MVP candidate Chris McCaffrey at the goal line. A time expired, and the Packers defeated the Carolina Panthers 24-16 on a snowy Sunday at Lambeau Field.
It was. it was an awful day. The Packers, you know, they're kind of the same way the whole year. They're not super impressive, but they're 8-2. they do enough on offense to do enough on defense. They're good. They take the ball away, number one. They get after the quarterback, number two. They're good in the red zone, number three. They give up a lot of yards, but you know, for 8 of the 10 games this year, it's been effective. And offensively, they don't have a great receiving corps, but they had Devontae Adams back, and he made a couple really good plays. And the running game is good enough, and they're Aaron Rodgers. I'm a huge Packer fan. They're my team, but I wouldn't say that I'd pick them to win the Super Bowl right now. But you never know. It's the NFL, and just take it one week at a time. Try to win your division. Try to make the, you know, be getting the playoffs, try to get a first-round bye if at all possible, and let the chips fall where they may.
There you have it. Tyler, through the time, we had to head into game predictions.
Sounds good. There's some good ones. This is like, what is it, 4 or 5 games in the top 25 this week?
It's pretty thick. It's pretty thick. But let's start off with Alabama at Mississippi State.
Alabama.
Indiana at Penn State.
It was a little bit of a tricky game. Indiana's pretty good. They're 7-2. Penn State's coming off a loss. I was tempted to say that Penn State was going to overlook Indiana, but if Penn State loses again, they're out of the playoff and they're out of the Big Ten race. So I think Penn State comes in really focused, and they come back and they win this week.
Florida at Mizzou.
Florida.
Kansas at Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Michigan State at Michigan.
Michigan.
Wisconsin at Nebraska.
Wisconsin.
Navy at Notre Dame.
Navy's pretty good. Navy in the top 25 still?
I believe Notre Dame
wins, but Navy's pretty... Yeah, they were in the top 25.
They are. They're 23rd.
Navy's pretty good, but... I think Notre Dame wins this, but maybe it's pretty good.
Big game here. Georgia at Auburn.
Big game. I've kind of gone back and forth in this game, and I'm like, I want Auburn to win. So I'm like, do I don't want to be too, because more Auburn can knock off Georgia and Alabama, and it's better it is for Oregon. It's for two different reasons. For one, Auburn keeps on winning, so it makes that loss look better. And number two, they're knocking off teams that are ahead of Oregon in the college football playoff rankings. Their offense doesn't look great, but it's at home. Bo Nix has played significantly better at home. Georgia's offense has not been great, and they definitely have not. And they're on the road. I think they have a couple injuries. I don't know if they're playing this week. I know they had a couple of linemen go out. They had their best receiver, Lawrence Cager, go out. And that's a good defense, especially that front seven, especially the defensive line. I think Auburn wins kind of an ugly game. I think there's some turnovers, but I like them at home against Georgia. 2017 kind of victory, but I'm going to go Auburn.
That will help out Florida. That will help out Florida. Wake Forest.
Hold on. Well, it helped out Oregon. Why does it help out Florida?
Well, Florida only lost
it
two. Georgia's out. Lost one, so they're tied with losses. Obviously, it does not make Florida go up in the SEC East, but
yeah, that was the thing.
It closes
Georgia
the window a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it helps Florida. I don't think I would have a hard time seeing Georgia lose two more games. They do play A&M, who's has some talent and pretty good. But I think Georgia wins the East. But yeah,
Jake Fromm. I don't know about him.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't know about Jake Fromm. I still haven't figured him out yet.
Oh yeah, okay, San Diego. You're the one that was beating the Jake Fromm drum, and yes, I'm saying I never got why you're beating his drum. Was it just you're just trying to like be the antagonist to everyone else?
I am being making the show interested, but
did
also
did you actually ever like Jake Fromm?
I'm neutral with him. He doesn't bother me, but
no. Okay, no. You don't. You spoke. You're like I think Fromm is. I think you're like you kind of were like saying he's better than I think at 1.2 and Herbert maybe
and Daniel Jones.
And I was like, what? What?
Never mind. Anyways, Wake Forest at Clemson.
But what did you like about him?
Well, I don't like much about him because he's inconsistent. But now he had a great game against Florida. But and plus, there was a lot of talk on 247 Sports about him being a top dog.
Okay, so you think he's inconsistent?
Yeah. I changed my mind about him.
Okay, so because I'm gonna break it down to you. Jake Fromm he's not the biggest guy. He's a 6'1", 6'2" kind of guy. He doesn't have an elite arm. He's not an elite athlete. So if you think he's inconsistent, then what is there to like about Jake Fromm? Because if I had to say something that was better about him, that maybe you give him an edge over like Herbert, for instance, you're not going to say he's bigger, has the same kind of physical measurables as Herbert. He's like 3 inches shorter. 25 pounds lighter. He's slower. He doesn't have as strong as arm. So he can't physically compare with him. So no, I was just wondering then but you think he's inconsistent now. So you really don't like Fromm.
I don't. I like Herbert better. So.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah. Because, so you think Herbert's more consistent than Fromm?
Yeah. As of right now. Yeah.
Huh.
We'll see.
Well, you really like Herbert then, because if you go for physical measurable, who is better than Justin Herbert?
Jalen Hurts, but not by much.
Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts.
Well, not better than him, but close to him. Let me rephrase that.
Arm? Jalen Hurts is a pretty mediocre passer.
Physicality.
Like I don't even think Jalen Hurts is an NFL quarterback.
He's a sixth rounder, but Tyler, we gotta keep going.
You think he's okay? No. But I was asking you a question. So why is Jalen Hurts there? You just don't have a name.
I mean, because I can't think of anyone else. Well, hold on, Joe Burrow. Gosh.
Joe Burrow. No, but I'm talking about physical. I'm talking about like.
Well, not Tua. Tua's not physical. He's injury prone. But I hate to break it, but we gotta keep going. We gotta keep going.
I know. I'm just talking about.
Okay, last 5 seconds. Let's finish it.
Okay. I was not talking because Burrow could have. Well, no, this is a good conversation.
For another podcast. Yeah, for another podcast. I don't have time.
Okay. Go on.
Let's go Wake Forest at Clemson.
Clemson. I initially said Wake Forest, but I was totally wrong. They're not going to beat Clemson.
Texas is Iowa State.
I think Texas wins. I think Texas is playing pretty good. I think they're actually going to go on a roll here. I think Texas.
Minnesota at Iowa.
Minnesota.
LSU.
Sorry. No.
Yeah, I saw that.
Iowa.
Iowa's going.
Sorry, I screwed that up. Iowa. I don't know. I was not thinking. Iowa wins a close game, but I think Iowa takes it in Iowa.
Just to be clear, Minnesota wins out, wins the Big Ten. They're going to the playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. LSU at Ole Miss.
LSU.
Oklahoma at Baylor. Oof.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma beats them. I think Baylor's been living 9 lives, barely winning week after week. Yeah, I think Oklahoma gets it. Oklahoma.
UCLA at Utah.
A little trickier game because UCLA is playing better than everyone except for Utah and Oregon right now in the Pac-12. They actually look pretty good. But it's at Utah, and Utah's a good team. Utah.
And finally, give us a score on this one, Arizona at Oregon.
Bat around the score in my head, but I keep on coming back to the same kind of score, 49-20, Oregon.
That's pretty convincing.
Yep.
And random question, what is your favorite Elijah Wood movie? You got Forever Young, Lord of the Rings, Radio Flyer. And I'm trying to pull this up. I got the Twitter up here. Oh, yeah. Or Huck Finn.
Never seen any of them, so sorry.
Okay, well.
Can't help you in that one.
Lord of the Rings is winning 40%, Huck Finn 30%, Forever Young 20%, and Radio Flyer at 10%. So.
Nice. A lot of Elijah Wood fans. Yeah, I've never seen them, so I'm not going to say which one I like best.
Tyler, how can people reach you?
That'd be disingenuous. At TurnerCast.
No, you gotta let me finish here. How can people reach you to talk to you about a potential career in modeling?
Don't contact me about that.
Okay. If you're a guy, male modeling.
I don't care. Don't talk to me. I'm like, figure out. I mean, it's whatever. Hit me up at TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast. And of course, he'll be live tweeting the Arizona Oregon game at 10:30 p.m. If you have nothing to do.
Hit me up about who has better physical measurables, nothing outside of physical measurables, than Justin Herbert. Size, arm strength, and athletic ability. Only physical measurables. Hit me up at
TurnerCast. No one. Yeah. I mean, there should be an article about that, by the way. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think you should write it.
No, you should. You're way more knowledgeable in this than I am.
I'm not a writer. Haven't you figured that out yet?
Well, no, you're a great writer. The sports for any
I'm
articles.
I'm not a good writer.
You're a good analysis guy.
I'm good. If you want like analytics on like recruiting rankings and baseline, yeah, I can do that stuff.
Which,
I'm a good mathematical writer.
Today is National Signing Day. Is that football related or is that?
No. Believe me, you'll be hearing a lot from me on National Signing Day. Now, National Signing Day is December 19th through the 21st and February 6th for football.
Should be exciting. How's Oregon looking
worry,
for the recruiting?
I'll be going nuts. Oregon looks pretty good, top 15 class, and they're in the running for about 4 or 5 stars.
This is exciting.
So they're able to close. Yeah, if they close on one or two of those, they could land for sure a top 15, maybe a top 10 class. So,
Mark Cristobal.
Really good, by the way. So.
Mark Cristobal. Anyways, for any articles on Tyler from Tyler, go to thesportscast.net or on Twitter. Follow our live tweets at thesportscast.net. We had debate, analysis, and things like that. And Tyler has to go because he has bills to pay.
All right, see you, dude.
Have a good day. Bye.